So I just thought it'd be nice, just take 2 minutes before we start, just to remember why we're here. Because we're learning Shara Avodah Selokim, but we already learned Shara B'Tochen before we did Shara Avodah Selokim, even though it comes before. But I just wanted to take something that we'd learned in Shara B'Tochen, because just a reminder, it came up Motzei Shabbos in the Shara B'Tochen Va that I go to, and it came up again this morning, coincidentally, as they say. So I thought it would be nice. I just want to find it. In the beginning, in Perek Beis there, he discusses the seven qualities that you would need to find in a person before you would be fully able to b'tach on them. And then he goes on to explain that you'd only find those seven qualities in Hashem. But the seventh quality, it brings three nekudot. To remind ourselves, we're working on b'tochen, and this is the area where we often get, if we would have this clear, internalized, me'achuz, we would never have any daigas, worries, problems. Life would just be very straightforward. But this is where we have a hard time getting this into our kishkas. So the repetition, I think, is important. So I just thought we'll start tonight just with Jonathan's here. So if he's wondering why we're learning Shara B'Tochen, how's it, Jonathan? You can, let me see your face. It's a cute face. hide behind your little Zoom icon there. That's better. And I can see your smile. How's it? So I was explaining to Ellie just before you came, that it came up Motzei Shabbos in the Shara B'Tochen Vaad, and it came up again this morning. Little stickle in Shara B'Tochen that I just wanted to just put on our tables, remind ourselves while we're learning all this stuff, because there's an important yesodia. And if we could internalize this, most of our problems would go away. He says like this on Shinchav base, he says like this, Agorim Ashri, the seventh quality that you'd have to find in somebody before you could have full betochen in them. This is the pinnacle of it. This person that you're betochen in, who nadiv leiv ubal chesed betachlis, is a openly giving person and a baal chesed betachlis. That's his essence. It's not something that he happens to do nice things now and again. No, his essence is that of being in a div lev and a balkeset. That's the first thing. Whether the person who's benefiting from his chesed deserves it or not. His giving, his altruism is constant, and his chesed never ever. There's no delays. It never ends. Bilti poisek. Doesn't ever end. Infinite. So those three things, if you remember who we're dealing with the Boir Olam, who's Nadiv Lev, Obala Chesed, B'tachlis, whether you deserve it or not. And it's ongoing and endless. There's no limitations to it whatsoever. That's who we're dealing with. So then when you have problems and you have difficulties, that's who you're turning to. That's who you're trusting. That's who you're relying on, is this entity, because at this point he's not talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's going to show you that the only entity, that has these qualities is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But this thing, not about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you'll find somebody who has these qualities. So then you know you got your back covered. So those are the three Nakudas he brings out here. And in Shar Yichud HaMais, at the beginning of Chelek Beis, he brings there that this is the area the Yetzer Hara shepherds the most. I don't have a Chelek Beis, otherwise I'd read it to you. But he says that's where the Yetzer puts most of his koichas in. It's to get you to make hishbonus. The area where we trip up is usually in the middle one. That Hashem's a baal chesed and a baal nadiv lev, the tachlis pesed. I don't think anybody would argue that. I'll bring you a rye that he's not. No, we don't have rye there. We know that that's it, and that he's nadivus and he's chesed. He's guilty poisek and it's tomid. Also, we see you have kashas because we see bad things happening. Let's say that we've dealt with that. Where we trip up is in the middle one. We don't think we deserve it. But me, with all my problems, you know what I did today and this, and how could I have done, blah, blah, blah. That's where the Yetzer HaTov is. The Yetzer HaTov comes in and he tells you, you're relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu for sure. Hashem is kulu chesed and kulu everything of our. You have to warrant it. You have to deserve it. And look, the Chovas HaLevavos himself says that later. The Chovas HaLevavos himself is a kash on the Chovas HaLevavos. But yeah, he says beforeish, b'ein shemila roi l'kach, b'ein shemila einu roi l'kach. And the Yetzer HaTov chippers and chippers away at that. That's why that needs constant chizuk. Anyway, I just wanted to, just because it came up twice, I thought we'll make it Pam Shlishi. Okay, in the meantime, we're in Shara Avodas Elokim, which is before Shara Betochen. We started Perek Vov, I believe. Now I've lost my place. That was very clever. Perek Zayin, I think we're starting now. Yeah, we're starting Perek Zayin. I don't remember what we did last week, but I think I remember saying we'll start Perek Zayin again. There's 10 stories here we have to deal with each one. Let's have a look and see what we call Tafkidim. 10 jobs that you have, 10 professions that we're going to have to acquire. The ongoing dialogue here between the Seichel and the Nefesh continues, and the Seichel continues and says, the Nefesh, remember, asked, what's the minimum? I don't know if that's the right word, but that's I'm going to use the word now. That a person needs to be over Hashem in order to be Yotzi, he's chiv. Less than that, you're not Yotzi, you're chiv. You know, what's the minimal level of tshuva you need to do in order to be Yotzi tshuva? Less than that, you're not Yotzi tshuva. More than that, you're already into dargas. About what's the minimum avodas Hashem that you need to do in order to be Yotzi? Less than that, you're not Yotzi. But Shredizem Magier Lo Shabere Yetiv Lo Tomit. And this avoider comes to you because a Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing goodness to you, Tomit, like we saw in Shara Betochen. It's Tomit. As in Einoch, I'll answer you, says the Seichel to the Nefesh. Ke avoider ze kolelis asore tafkidim. She beyad kod adam lemalo tom. Everybody is to become a professional of these 10 jobs. You've got 10 jobs. You look at your mission statement, there's 10 bullet points. And we're about to learn them one at a time. I think first he's going to list them, and then he's going to go into... No, he just lists them, and then whatever. The latter ones, from 7, 8, 9, and 10, it gets a bit lengthy, but the first six are pretty quick. They're one-liners. So let's see what he does with this. Hatafkid HaRishon Hu. Shelo Yaseh Satoi Ve'le'em Tsoyi. You see what that means? So I want to see how he says it in the Shelo Yasimenu Sibela Hamroisoi. You shouldn't use the good that Hashem is giving you as a means to rebel against the Rotzon HaBoreh. That means the Kodesh Baruch Hu does a teiva for you, and you use that teiva to rebel against him. He brings here in the Ma'apel HaNefesh, in the Pesach HaLev, he brings an example from Korach. Very topical subject at the moment, Korach, because we are busy with Korach the last few weeks. Korach was a very wealthy man, an extremely wealthy person. And that's a teiva that Hashem gave him. But what did it cause him to do? It caused him to become a big Balgaiva and to start arguing with Moshe. Yeshurun grew fat, and then they started kicking, they started rebelling. Okay. We know that. It's a very common Shlomo Melech warns us about that already. Shema, you'll become wealthy and you'll start denying the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you'll become the Balgaiva. So he has a teiva that Hashem does a person, potential teiva, and he's using gufa that teiva to rebel against the Bino Elam. So that's the first tafkid you have. You don't take the good that Hashem's given you and turn it around to use against Hashem. You have to remember, Tomid, Belashoinoi. You have to articulate it maybe. It's a Tova Shelokim Mativ Lo, the Yoide Vishabech Lo Ma'od Avura, the Liboy Ubedvarov. You have to remember Tomid. I don't know what it means, Belashoinoi. Later he's going to say, Beliboy Ubedvarov. Ubenira midvarov. You see, in the Chovetz Chabad, he doesn't mention beliboy ubedvarov. He just says, and you, it's constantly your words. He talks only about words, which fits better in with Tomid Belashoinus, Atovish Shalokim Meitiv Lo V'Yoyde V'Shabech Lo Ma'od Avurov. That's where the words are. Beliboy ubedvarov. I don't know what, where the liboy is coming from. Okay, and I'm going to medite the life to more than necessary. The Chovetz Chabad doesn't mention liboy. I does say beliboy. No, he does. That's coming from okay. Beliboy oleya ubenira midvarov. It's going to appear from your words. That means he's constantly speaking and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Means you see it in this person. When he talks to this person, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on his lips. He's thanking Hashem for all the goodness that he does for him. That's Tomidal Lashoinai. That's the second mission we have. So the first mission we have is a negative. Don't use the good Hashem's giving you to rebel against it. The second one is recognize the good that's been done for you and speak about it. Talk about it. I think that's called auto-suggestion. Oh, there's a thing out there in the world called auto-suggestion. The more you talk about something, the more real it becomes. You want to love something, you don't really love it. You keep saying, I love you, I love that thing, I love that person. It's one of the military Abbas Hashem. How do you come to love Hashem? He's telling you love him. Yeah, but I don't feel it. But say it enough times, you'll come to believe it. It'll start going inside. The Pu'ulois Moshech the Levavos. The Levavos Moshech after the Pu'ulois. That may be what's going on here. I don't know. So those are the first two tafkidim. A tafkid Ashlishi. You're being interviewed for a job here, you know. They're telling you what your mission statement is. You decide whether you want to take the job or not. What's the salary? Oh, the salary is Meskorot Tanak. Atafkid Ashlishi hu Sheloi Tovus Elokim Bizuyu Uma'ate Ba'enot. The Tovus that Hashem does for you, here comes a negative again. Shouldn't be whatever, Bizuya, whatever, you know, not that big, not that important. Shouldn't be bizayon. Bizayon is like an embarrassment. Shouldn't be, you shouldn't minimize in your eyes the tovas that Hashem is doing for you. It's gotta be precious and great in your eyes. When you see the good that Hashem does for you, it's easy to just say, yeah, sad. Okay, so what's the big deal? So my heart's beating. The billion Chinese hearts beating as well as my. No. That's bizuya uma'ata ba'inov. There you bring the vazet. And you're minimizing it. Every little thing you have to make big. It's got to look big in your eyes. So that's the third job. Nothing overwhelming yet, eh? Considering some of the stuff we've learned in the Chovetz Chabad, this is quite mild. I don't think I've ever got past two anyway. This is reading up to three, and it doesn't sound outrageous. There's work to be done, Yana, no doubt. Well, it seems manageable. A tafkid ha-ravi, who Shema Boira Meitiv Lo Al Yedei Odom or Al Yedei Im Tsoyach She. This is a tough one. We saw this in Shara B'Tochen as well. We struggled with it then. Let's see. If the Boira Olam does a goodness for you via somebody else, some person or some other means, Al Yachshav She'eisem Tsoyu She'eitiv Lo. Don't think for 1 minute that means to an end, that other person or that other agency did you any good. That you're thanking this person for what he did for you and you're not thanking the Boira Olam. He doesn't say, he doesn't say you shouldn't thank the other person. In Shara B'Tochen, he said you should thank him not because he did you a favor, but because he had the idea, he struggles there with how much a chorus of faith you can have to the employee. But here he's just saying more partial. is you can't have a Kodesh Torah to him and not have a Kodesh Torah to Hashem. You have to thank him. Okay, thank you very much for bringing me this. But who did the Torah for you? The Boreh Olam. And then you have to go back to 3, 2, 1. Don't use this Torah to rebel against Hashem. Remember to articulate the Shevach of the Torah. And don't think this is a small thing. This is something big. But the person who did it for you, gave it to you, he ain't the guy. It happened to me a while ago. I had a flat tire outside Esh Kodesh as I was leaving Yeshiva after Seder. So I had a flat tire, not just a flat tire. Mama, I ripped the tire, cut it on a piece of metal that was sticking out there, whatever. So what do you do in this country when you have a flat tire? Is you find your didim. You find your didim. The didim is a volunteer organization that you phone them up, and if there's a guy, a volunteer in the neighborhood, he comes and helps you change your tire. Yeah, from kids, whatever. Very nice people. Anyway, this guy arrives and he mama changes my tire. I can change a tire myself. I'm a loyally koyach and I was tired and it's whatever. It was a sipur. It wasn't just a simple, the whole room was big, whatever. I sipur. This guy came 10 minutes, changed my tire, whatever. And I was mama so grateful to him. You have no idea. I wanted to hug him. I was so happy with him. Mama just, you know, and I thanked him profusely, whatever. And I got in the car and I went to buy a new tire. On the way there, I suddenly realized, wait a second. You didn't thank Hashem for the flat tire, and you didn't thank him for sending somebody to come fix the tire. And the mama stopped myself, like, where's your head? Why am I thanking him for having a flat tire? Because having a flat tire, I would have got in the corner, would have gone. So, I mean, who says it was been good for me to be where I would have been at, and I had a flat tire? That delay, I don't understand why. We don't see the end of the video. You have to thank Hashem for the tire as well. That's what we've been learning for the last 25 years. You should, you know, when it happens, at least it should sink in. But the point here is I thought you should say thank you to the guy that came to help you. He's not saying, once again, in light of the other things of Chovas HaLevavos says, not the posture to say what I just said. But I'm learning Yair now. Yair says, you shouldn't thank him without thanking the Boreh Olam. So why do you say thank you, Mr. Yedidin? And then you get up and you say, Halel, the Boreh Olam. Not to forget that. You go to the fridge in the morning when you come to Esh Kodesh, you go to the fridge and it's packed with milk. So why do you feel a chorus of time you thank the Rebbe? Who's paying for that? Who asked him to put milk in there? Most places you go, when the first bottle of milk finished, two bottles, and that's it. There's no more milk left. You want milk, bring your own. No, he doesn't sleep at night because there's no milk. You know, there has to be milk 24/7. Whoever comes in there, no matter who it is, has to have milk. So thank you very much. But one second. He's not the one that's mate of you. Who's mate of you is the Boreh Olam. You have to say thank you to the Boreh Olam, and it's not a small favor that there's milk there. A couple million people involved in getting that milk into the fridge. You're going to go say thank you to all of them? The Boreh Olam, that's a very important, you saw this, very halacha l'maisa, practical, we're dealing with it all the time. We need him. People are doing us favors all the time, and we're thanking and thanking and thanking them. We ever forget to, hello, Hashem, thank you. Bit of a wake up that one. Okay. Tafkid Hamishi. Shaloyis Ba'er Batoiv Shayeshlo. Person shouldn't feel proud about the good that he has. Bal Yala Daitesh, who lokach la'atzmoy said, Toiv Bakoiche ubachachmosoy. He shouldn't think that he took this, he got this good that he's got with his power and his wisdom. Well, of course, then I got this. This money that I was able to do, she put him whatever, I was able to refurbish myself, of course, because wow, did I do a good deal? Oh, you know, I was in the right place, and I'm almost what a genius that I, you know, I bought those shares. No, I said, look, it's not because of that. But he's a sativ, and he shouldn't think that he got it because the tzaddik came. You know how many people I help every day? So for sure, she wants me to have a fancy car. He has to remember, he has to have imuna. The Boreh Olam did him chesed chinam lo magielcha klum, certainly not this chesed. And Hashem gave you a chesed chinam, even though you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. What do we deserve? The Lord deserves klum. Not so simple. That's a bitter pill to swallow. I mentioned it today in the 1980 year as well. We'll be touching on the sugi a little bit there as well. The opposite. How many, I don't know if it was in the 1980 year, I think it was in the 1980 year. How many times, it's happened to everybody. I don't know anybody that this hasn't happened to. You drive past a building and you tell your kid, you know, that building there that's for sale now for $10 million, I could have bought that for $100,000 10 years ago. I was such an idiot, I didn't buy it. Everybody's got one of those stories, yeah? And I bought that house and I bought that apartment and I done that deal. Oh, I was such an idiot, why didn't I buy those shares? So if you think like that, that's Pashut Kpira. That's Pashut Kpira, that's the opposite of what he's saying here. The same way as when you say to yourself, I got this money because I did a good deal. I was mamash clever to buy a deer in Ramat Beit Shemesh 30 years ago on plan because what I paid 150,000 shekels for 20 years ago is now 5 million shekels. That was a good deal. I was clever that I bought it. You're just as much as a kaif as a guy that says, well, I didn't buy a deer in Beit Shemesh 20 years ago for 150,000 shekels. You didn't buy it because Hashem didn't want you to have the money. You did buy it because Hashem wanted you to have it. It wasn't because you're a clever businessman or you're a clever nadlan or you understand property. Because many people bought dirhams and they lost money. You know? Then if you remember, Eli, you were around then when Yitzchak Shiner spoke in the Chanukah Neish Kodesh, the first Chanukah Neish Kodesh. Yitzchak Shiner Zecher Kodesh. Zecher Tzadik for Kodesh Lebrocha spoke in the Chanukah Mesibah, the first and only Mesibah I think we had. So he spoke, he said he asked Moshe Reichman. Moshe Reichman had been Nifta then, was Nifta recently. He said he once asked Moshe Reichman how he became so wealthy. So he told him, one day Hashem put a chuk in my cup to buy a building. And I bought a building and I was more and more successful. And from there, Hashem gave me more and more and more. And then one day Hashem wanted me to lose a fortune. So he put a chuk in my cup to buy a building and I bought a building and I lost a fortune. That's how I made my money. Because Hashem put things into my head. That's Torah Hashkafa. That's what he was saying then. Rav Shana was saying, that's two Torah Hashkafa. And that's exactly what the Chovah Silovav is saying here. Don't think that the good things that come to you are because of your chokhmah. Don't think that the good things that didn't come to you is because of you made a mistake. The kol mochlif ban and it's all from Hashem and it's kulu chesed. And you bought the deer 50 years ago in Beit Shemesh and you would have sold it now for 5 who said it would have been good for you. Miyamashi is a tovlecha. If it was good for you, it would have happened. So it's important to remember that. And this takes a lot of training because we do think like, wow, Baruch Hashem, and I've got that and my yearly, and you know, so, yeah. The tafkid ha-shishi. We've got to work it out first to get all of these under our belt. Six. Shelo yachshov shatov yiskaimetz lo tomid. Don't think that the good is going to be with you forever. Al yedei shehu yishtad la-sigoto lishmolav. Because you're making effort and you're taking steps to make sure that you're acquiring it and that you're guarding it to make sure that it doesn't go away. Shatov yabod yimeni imhu yitzale melishtad l'manoi. And also don't think that it'll go away from you if you're not putting in effort to keep it. But you have to be responsible and you have to make proper standards to make sure you're doing what you're doing. You don't get $1 million and you leave it on the side of the road and think, well, the Chovah Silovav says if it gets lost, it's nothing to do with me, and I've got it, it's got nothing to do with me, so I'll just do nothing. No, there's a thing called ishtadlus. But don't think for 1 minute that if you'll stop doing ishtadlus, that good that Hashem's giving you will go away because it'll come true to you. It'll be by you with ishtadlus, without ishtadlus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayming it, and you don't have to make any ishtadlus to keep it at you. Hilchos ishtadlus says you have to make ishtadlus for sure. You know, when there's robberies in town and there's burglars and whatever, you have to put up gates, you have to, whatever's normal, whatever's considered normal. You can't say, well, Pemisavar says that ishtadlus is going to include me, so I'm going to make ishtadlus, and I left $1 million in the house with the door wide open with a big sign saying the $1 million is in the drawer under the whatever and someone stole the money, is it all kosher to me? Well, you're high for that. You have to take normal, reasonable precautions, obviously. But in reality, don't think your status is what's guarding it because it's not. Again, we are taking ourselves more and more and more from the status being the goyre. That is not the goyre. So we don't know why there's a status here, but that's what you have to do. About say lo kosher. This person that did the favor for you, lo kashu alav, it's Hashem. this money was saved or this money was lost, it had nothing to do with you. Obviously, we're talking about where there's Bechira. Where there's Bechira, then you're responsible to do what you have to do. Fine. It's getting a little bit deeper. This a bit harder. This mountain's getting a little bit steeper. The first two or three, I'm happy to stop there. It'll be a white belt, or even Hashem, you know, blue belt. Now we're starting to get into the black belt here. This is tough stuff to say, well, this is not possible. Tough. Seven is already getting into big work. What's the time? It's not past. Let's stop. Because seven is a major one. And we're really getting into some real heavy stuff here. Seven, eight, nine, and ten there's a black belt. You know, super duper levels. Up to now, we've been dealing in the little leagues, as they call it in America. You know, getting into the super leagues here a little bit, not so important. But this is, it sounds more relevant in Shara Betoch. This Mama Zekesha to Shara Voida said, okay, this sounds Shara Betoch. So it does touch on that. Whatever you've got, whatever's coming to me at Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's not small, the Tevis are doing up big for us, and what he's giving us, we have to use correctly. And the story of when people do you good, or good comes to you through different agencies, whatever, is to thank Hashem for that. Mamash the Nes. Even the mistakes you make. I made a mistake recently, whatever. I'm not going into all the details now because it's that boring. Jonathan knows I was supposed to go to South Africa a few weeks ago. I thought I had to go to South Africa, and then it turned out I didn't even have to go. It wasn't like I had to go, but I pulled off the miracle, and therefore it saved me from going. In retrospect, even if I hadn't gone and I didn't get the miracle, I still wouldn't have had to go because what I thought I needed to go for, I didn't actually need to go for. But I didn't know that at the time, so I booked a ticket and I'm stuck with the ticket now, and I've paid for it, and I'm going to have to use it sometime within the next year or whatever. It was such a waste of money. So I'm kicking myself because I'm such an idiot. Like, why did you do that? Your mom, that you could have used that money now. It's because I couldn't both put a chicken into your camp to go buy the flight because he made you think that you needed to take care of this thing. And the only way you could take care of it was in South Africa. Afterwards, you found out you could actually do it from here. But in the end, the thing I didn't even need to do. It wasn't even necessary. So all these studies I made and the phone calls and the protectors and the emails and the whole story that I went through, hours of each studies, to do something in the end that wasn't even necessary. But I didn't know. No one told me that the rules had changed. Then you... So I've been playing with that a lot lately. That was all the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I didn't make a mistake. I did what I was supposed to do based on what I thought. In the end, you look like an idiot. Okay. I look like an idiot. I will. That's what he's saying. Don't think that Ness that happened that you didn't have to go was kosher to you. And don't think the mistake you made that you thought you had to go was kosher to you. It's not kosher to you, none of it. You have to be responsible and do what you have to do. That's what I did. But in the end, there was a miracle that stopped me going to do something I didn't even need to do. You got to wrap that one around your, you know. Shara Voida said, look, Kim, you know what? I think you know what I'm talking about, Jonathan. Anyway, whatever, I'm just saying, it's almost crazy. Crazy. Anyway.
That's very good. Good example.
Have a good Voch. Take good care. We'll see you next week, Bezrat Hashem.
You too. Ciao, guys. Be well.